All right. Ready to jump into some special education advocacy?
Let's do it. We're diving into these guides, unearthing some golden nuggets to help you become a real advocate.
Think of it as like becoming a special education rock star. We're talking about arming you with all the knowledge to confidently navigate this world, advocate effectively, you know, make sure a child's needs are really being met.
Yeah, we'll be your guides, leading you through all the ins and outs of special education rights and resources, helping you cut through all that jargon.
And trust me, we've got a lot to cover. We're looking at excerpts from different guides from across the U.S., New Jersey, Virginia, California, each one with its own unique take.
But don't worry, we're going to break it all down, give you the need-to-know essentials, the stuff that really matters.
Exactly, the good stuff. Okay, so let's start with the heart of it all. Special education. It's a term we hear a lot, but what's it actually mean, you know, in practice?
Well, our New Jersey guide starts off by mentioning this thing called specially designed instruction.
Okay.
And it's actually way more interesting than it sounds. It's not just about academics. It's much broader than that. We're talking about any instruction that's really tailored to a child's unique needs. It could be anything from speech therapy to social skills training, even assistive technology, you name it.
Got it. Yeah. So it's really about individualizing, like really tailoring the approach to each kid, right?
Exactly. It's about figuring out what a child needs to unlock their full potential and then making it happen. And the important thing here is that this isn't just some nice idea.
Oh, it's the law, right?
You got it. It's the law. Every child is entitled to what's called FAPE. That's free appropriate public education. Basically, it means that every child, regardless of their needs, has the right to an education that's designed to help them learn and grow and is provided at no cost to the parent.
That's amazing. It's like knowing you have this safety net, this guarantee that your child's needs will be met. You're not alone in this, you know.
Yeah.
So how do we actually make this FAPE thing a reality? I mean, that's where the individualized education program, the IEP, comes in, right?
Exactly. Think of the IEP as a roadmap, something you create with the school to guide your child's educational journey.
I like that, a roadmap. Okay, so before we hit the road, let's talk about that first stop, evaluations. This is how we figure out if a child qualifies for those special education services, right?
Exactly. We have to figure out if they're eligible, and this is where those state-by-state differences can get a little tricky.
Yeah, the state stuff, always fun.
Right. It can be confusing because what qualifies a child for services in one state might be totally different in another. It just goes to show how important it is to understand those little details within your own state.
Totally agree. It's like navigating a minefield out there. So once a child is deemed eligible, the IEP becomes their personalized roadmap.
Yeah, got it. And this is where collaboration is key.
Teamwork.
Exactly. Our Virginia guide really stresses how important parental involvement is. You're on a team working together to create the absolute best learning experience for your child.
Love it.
Yeah.
And every good team needs a solid game plan. So walk us through it. What are the key parts of this IEP roadmap?
Okay, first up, you've got your measurable goals. These are like the concrete targets everyone is working towards. We're talking about specific objectives that can be measured so you can track the child's progress.
Gotcha. So no vague ideas, just clear, measurable goals.
Exactly. But it goes beyond just goals. The IEP also includes accommodations, which are those supports and services that help level the playing field for the child.
Things like assistive technology, preferential seating, visual aids.
Yes, exactly. Anything that can help a child access the curriculum and participate fully in the classroom, we want to get rid of those barriers.
It's all about creating that inclusive learning environment. Okay, I'm loving this deep dive into IEPs, but before we get totally lost in the details, I want to talk about something I know is on a lot of parents' minds. Transition planning.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's so important.
This isn't just about getting through school, right? It's about making sure the support continues after graduation.
Exactly. You're thinking ahead, planning for life after high school, independent living, employment, all that good stuff.
And I've heard horror stories of families waiting until the last minute to figure this stuff out.
You don't want to do that. Our California guide has some really good advice on this.
Hit me with it.
First things first. Transition planning officially starts at age 16. Some states even recommend starting earlier, especially if a child has, you know, more significant needs.
16. Wow, that does seem early to some people. Why so young?
Well, think about it. Transitioning from high school to adulthood is a huge deal for any young person. It can be even more overwhelming for someone with disabilities. We're talking about things like independent living, finding a job, maybe even going to college. These are big steps.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So starting early is key.
Exactly. It gives you time to get everything in place.
Love it. This is gold. I bet a lot of our listeners are breathing a sigh of relief right now. And we're back, ready to jump into the world of parent advocacy.
Let's do it.
We're talking about giving you the tools and knowledge you need to be a strong advocate for your child.
It's about becoming an active participant in their education, not just, you know, sitting back and letting things happen.
Exactly. And a big part of that is understanding that IEP process.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing I noticed in the California guide, they talk about this team approach to the IEP.
Right. Collaboration is key.
But they also acknowledge that, hey, disagreements happen.
Oh, yeah. It's a balancing act.
You want to work with the school, but you also have to be ready to stand your ground when it's important.
You have to advocate for your child.
Exactly. And that's where those practical tips come in.
The California Guide has some great ones, especially for preparing for IEP meetings.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, they talk about gathering your own documentation.
Okay. What kind of documentation?
Things like work samples, progress reports, even just notes on your child's behavior at home.
So you're coming to the table prepared.
Exactly. You're showing them, hey, this is what I'm seeing.
I love it.
Oh, and they also have this amazing IEP preview checklist.
Wait, a checklist? Tell me more.
It's on page 49, and it's like a roadmap for the whole IEP meeting.
That's so helpful. Okay, so we're prepared, we're organized, but what happens when there's a disagreement?
That's where those legal safeguards come in. Remember, you have rights.
Right, right.
And those rights give you a way to work through disagreements.
But for those who aren't familiar with all the legal stuff, can you break it down a bit? What should parents know about dispute resolution?
Sure. The Virginia Guide actually does a great job of explaining the different levels of dispute resolution.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, everything goes straight to court. You have options.
That's reassuring.
You can start with informal conversations, just talking to the school about your concerns.
Trying to work things out amicably.
Exactly. And then if that doesn't work, there's mediation, where a neutral third party helps you and the school come to an agreement.
Like a mediator.
Yes. And then if all else fails, there's the option of a due process hearing, which is more formal.
Okay, so you have a range of options. But I imagine it can still feel intimidating to challenge the school. Some parents might be hesitant to, you know, make waves.
I understand. But remember, you are your child's strongest advocate. You know them best. And you have the right to make sure their needs are met.
You have a voice.
Yes. And don't be afraid to use it.
I love that.
Oh.
And speaking of voices, the California Guide also talks about empowering students to advocate for themselves.
Oh, that's so important.
Not just on the parents.
Right, giving them the tools and confidence to speak up for themselves.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
But advocating for a child with special needs, it can be exhausting.
It can be a lot, for sure.
How can parents avoid burnout?
Yeah.
How can they take care of themselves while they're also fighting for their kids?
Well, all of our guides really emphasize the importance of self-care for parents.
Okay, good.
This isn't just, you know, some extra thing. It's essential.
It's crucial.
Exactly. Taking time for yourself, connecting with other parents, seeking support when you need it. All of that is so important.
You can't pull from an empty cup, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about advocating for your child, working through disagreements, taking care of yourself. Now, let's talk about those disagreements in a bit more detail. All right, we're back. Ready to dive into those tricky moments when disagreements pop up.
It's bound to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. In the world of special education, disagreements are practically unavoidable.
Like, it's not always smooth sailing.
Exactly. But one thing I found really reassuring in these guides is that disagreement doesn't have to mean, like, all-out war.
Right. It's not about picking a fight.
It's about working together to find the best solution for the child.
Exactly. The Virginia Guide, for example, they frame it as a process, not a battle. Which I really like.
That's a good way to put it. You don't have to, like, immediately hire a lawyer and go to court.
Right. There are steps you can take before things get to that point.
So walk us through those steps.
Well, you start with those informal conversations we talked about. You approach the school, you express your concerns, you try to find some common ground.
Just open communication.
Exactly. A lot of the time, you can work things out that way.
And if those informal conversations don't get you anywhere, you've still got those legal safeguards, right?
Exactly. That's when you might consider mediation.
Right, having that neutral third party.
It can be really helpful. They can help you and the school communicate more effectively and hopefully reach a compromise.
Like a referee, making sure everyone's playing by the rules.
Exactly.
Okay, but even knowing all of that, it can still feel intimidating to, you know, to challenge the school, to say, hey, I don't agree with this.
I get it. It can be scary. But remember those sample letters in the California guide?
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Those can be really helpful in those situations. They give you the words to say, even if you're not comfortable, you know, coming up with them on your own.
It's like having a script.
Exactly. They can give you that extra boost of confidence.
Love it. And you know what else I thought was great about the California guide? They don't just focus on parents as advocates. They also talk about empowering students to advocate for themselves.
Yes. That's so important.
Giving them a voice, letting them be part of the process.
It's about teaching them to speak up for what they need.
Yes. Okay, so we've talked about disagreements. We've talked about advocating for your child. Now let's bring it back to transition planning.
Oh, that's right. We have to talk about that.
Because advocating for your child's education, it doesn't stop at high school graduation. Right.
Absolutely not. It's about making sure those supports are in place for their adult lives, too.
And that's where those local resources are so crucial.
Yes. Connect with those organizations, build those relationships. They can provide invaluable support.
They can help you navigate those next steps, whatever they may be.
Exactly.
All right, listeners, we've covered so much ground in this deep dive. We've talked about understanding the IEP process, advocating for your child, resolving disagreements, and planning for the future.
And remember, you're not alone in this journey. There are people out there to support you every step of the way.
Exactly. We hope you found this deep dive helpful and empowering.
We'll see you next time for another deep dive into a topic that matters.
Until then, keep asking those questions and keep advocating for those amazing kids.